now. I'd like for you to turn to number 711. 711. I'm not going to continue the song service exactly, but in just a minute, I'd like for us to sing that song. I appreciate Matt's leading today. Those great songs. You don't hear the spacious firmament. You don't get to sing it a lot. And even if you're not familiar with it, the words in that song are so great. And all the songs that we sang today are in that category. I really appreciate that. Appreciate Rich reading and offering a great prayer. And appreciate all of you being here together this morning. We've been studying the last month in our Wednesday night class. I've got a 13 lesson plan. It took me 4 weeks to get through the first lesson, so I don't know how many years we're going to be on this topic. But the topic is fellowship. And we're going to take a kind of an in-depth look on Wednesday night. Not here. Not doing all 13 weeks here this morning. But it's hard to overemphasize, really, the importance of fellowship. And sometimes we take it for a kind of a passing thing. It's kind of a word that's more of a social, we get together once in a while, and that's fellowship. We get in the same place at the same time, and we do the same thing, and we think of that as fellowship. In a way, that's right. But I want you to look at the scripture that we read this morning in Philippians chapter 1. I want to ask you, and this is going to be kind of a personal lesson for us here at Echo Hills. And I'd like to just ask the question, what do you think of when I say Echo Hills Church of Christ? Echo Hills Church of Christ, something pops into your mind, maybe, if you're listening. And probably for different people, it's different things. Some of you have a longer term with Echo Hills Church of Christ, and there may be some things that go into your mind from the past when you think about certain people and activities and so forth. And others of us think of Reach. Others of us think of being here on Sunday morning together. Different things that we have in our mind. Well, in the scripture, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is talking about the Philippian church. And he's saying, this is what I think of when I think of you in the Philippian church. And look what he says. I give thanks for every remembrance of you. He had a fond memory of the people there at the Philippian church. And he said, I'm praying with you, for you, with joy, for all of you in every way. Why? Now look at this. Because of your partnership. Partnership in the gospel. It wasn't because they were nice people, and because they had a lot of money, or because they all had nice personalities, or they all, took a bath before they came to church on Sunday morning. They had a fellowship based on something far deeper than just the outward. And he remembered that as a thing of joy. It was something that brought him joy when he thought about the fellowship in the church at Philippi. And it says, because of their partnership, they were his companions, they were his partners is the best word, I guess, to use, really. Because they supported each other. They had a support group in them. In what? In the gospel. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He built a church. He built a kingdom, a group, a fellowship that was undefeated, and it was to be something that was at the core of our fellowship, was Jesus Christ. I will build my church. And I'm just asking myself this question, as I hope you will ask yourself the question. When you think of Echo Hills, shouldn't the first thing that comes into your mind be a fellowship of the gospel? The gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That should be the foundation of our fellowship. Not just coming together and singing nice songs together and meeting each other and talking about the weather and all that. That's good. But I'm just saying, what is the basis? What is the foundation? What is the first thing that comes into our minds when we think of our fellowship here? And then Paul goes on, and he says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you. Do you think he just meant one good work? I don't know. Maybe so. But they were involved as a congregation, as a group of people, in the work of the Lord together. It was a partnership in the Lord in a work. You will carry on, he says. I'm praying that you will carry this on to when Christ comes again. There's no terminal. You know, it's kind of worried when I went to an airport. It's called the terminal. I don't know what that means exactly. You know, you can think of a terminal illness. I don't want to fly into an airport that's got a terminal at the end of it. But anyway, it's another subject. In other words, it's not something we do or something they were doing just when Paul was there. Oh, Paul's coming. Let's all get together, shine our shoes, comb our hair, brush our teeth. Paul's coming. Then when Paul left, everything went back to normal. This was a work that had a terminus when Christ comes. It was a long-term deal. The fellowship that was there. And it is right for me, verse 7, to think this way about all of you. Because, listen to this. This is Paul, hard-nosed, tough guy, been stoned, shipwrecked, all this stuff. What does he say? I have you in my heart. Wow. That's pretty strong. I have you in my heart. And I wonder, do we have the will of the gospel of Christ in our fellowship that's in our heart? Paul could feel, even from wherever he was when he wrote this, probably in prison somewhere, in his heart, he had a connection to the Philippian church. And I wonder if that's the way we feel about our own fellowship. If it's something that is in our heart and that we can't really go away from it. It's with us everywhere. We take it with us everywhere we go. A part of the fellowship. And you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. Again, that word fellowship has to do with partner. And that's what the word fellowship means. It's a partnership. It is a mutual commitment to something, which he says is the gospel. For God is my witness how I deeply miss all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. So when he was apart from them, he actually had something missing in his life. There was something that wasn't right. And he was longing to be back with them because there was a part of him that was empty without them. And I'm asking these questions to myself as well as to you. How do we feel about our fellowship here. This song that we're going to sing here, we don't sing it very often, is talking about a parting. When we part, when we go away from each other, do we miss something? Is there a part in us that's longing for the fellowship of being together with our Christian friends here and brothers and sisters here in this place? Or somewhere else. Maybe we call. Maybe my guys miss that person so much, I got to call them up. How they're doing. Or she sent this email over. Sometimes I can open them. She sent me this little attachment thing. And I have to call my granddaughter down to figure out how to get in there and see that picture or whatever it is she sent. But we miss each other. If we're a true fellowship, like Paul was talking about, when we're apart, we think of each other. We think of each other because of the commitment that we have to the gospel. Not necessarily a social reason, but it could be that too. How about this, all of you? And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can determine what really matters. I love that. So that you can determine what really matters. We sang a song here just a minute ago about heaven. I think, was it that last song? I was kind of thinking about something else. But what was it? The land of clouds is dead. That really matters, doesn't it? That thing we're all searching for out here and waiting for and know is there, that's a part of the really mattering. But sometimes we get things in our minds and we think they're very important. But when it comes down to really, they're not really the most important thing. I can speak from experience because when I was teaching band, that was the really only mattering thing a lot of times. My family keep quiet. And I thought that was it. And sometimes we can get these things into our lives that we think really matter. And they do when we look at them close. But when we back up and look at the big picture, what is it that really matters? And he says, I want you to grow in love. And I want you to grow in discernment so that you can understand what really matters in life. You know, sometimes I've had kids that come to me, I know you teachers the same, they come to me and they're confused and they've had something happen in their life and they're all upset, they're about to commit suicide, and sometimes that's not just a exaggeration. I've had something like that. I'm sure maybe others of you that taught have had suicidal kids. Didn't really realize it at the time. It comes to you and something has happened. They broke up with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Somebody told them to go jump below and they just turned because they love them so much. And you know, something happened in their life and it just knocked them down. And you have to try to take that person and say, look, that's not the most important thing. And you have to back up and look at life. Look out here at what's really important. And so he said, I want you to determine what really matters. And I want you to determine within yourself how to be pure and blameless in this world. And so, those are the things that Paul remembered when he thought about the Philippian church. And there's another part of this over in the verse 27. If you look over there. It's just thing, just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you. that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, working side by side for the faith of the gospel, not being frightened away by your opponents. This is evidence of their destruction, but of your deliverance. So what is he telling them? He's telling them to stick together. Walk side by side. Walk in unity, as I tried to get my band to do for 40 years. Walk in step. Sometimes I had some kids I had to tell, don't march and play at the same time. You can march when you ain't playing, but you can't do both. So we just broke their saxophone reed and state contest so they couldn't. don't tell. Well, you don't know who it is. So walk side by side. And he said, I will hear them. I will hear what you're doing, even if I'm not there. I want you to keep in mind this admonition that I have for you, this charge that I have for you. And I hope that's what we think of this congregation, this fellowship that we have at Echo Hills. We have a lot of diverse people, just like David. We have a lot of different things that are going on in our lives. But even if you think about what Paul had going on in his life, and he had this kind of feeling and this kind of fellowship in his heart with the people there in Philippi. And I long for that, don't you? A group of people, I heard somebody say the other day, you're lucky in this life if you have two or three good friends. Two or three people that you know you can go to and ask them or tell them anything. Well, Christians shouldn't be like that. If we have a true fellowship, we should be able to talk to anyone in this fellowship about anything, even our sins. You know, in 1 John, sometimes we talk about 1 John or read it, but it says, if you what? Tell everybody you're doing great. Tell everybody the world is fine. What's it say? Hello? Confess your sins to who? Priest over in the box where nobody can hear. Confess your sins one to another. Find out about each other. Learn about your problem. Learn about the things that you're struggling with. Learn about the life that each person in that fellowship is living. And that's another place. Bear one another's burdens. And you know, a lot of times we don't even know who's got burdens in our fellowship sometimes. I think we're just each other a lot of these things here. But it's important for us to feel like we have partners in the gospel. We are in the same situation these people were back in these times, but we do face a world out there sometimes that's difficult for us to deal with for various reasons. I want to look at another scripture here for a minute. And it's 1 Corinthians 16. I want you to turn over there, if you will. 1 Corinthians 16. Chris said he had an hour lesson last week. I got 3 hour lessons, but I tried to put it in one. So I'm not sure. It didn't want to go too many more hours. I got my water up here just in case. In 1 Corinthians 16, you know, we talked about how terrible a problem that the Corinthian church had. We studied the last couple of weeks about the disunity that was in the Corinthian church, how they were always divided. They divided about who they were going to follow, who baptized them. They divided about who had the greatest gifts. They divided about who they were going to fellowship in the Lord's Supper. They divided about spiritual gifts. And divided, all the way through the book. And then, of course, chapter 13, he gives the key to the whole thing. Love is the key to the whole thing. But in chapter 16, he says, verse 14, your every action must be done with love. Brothers, you know the household of Stephanas? They are the first fruits of Achaia and have devoted themselves to serving the saints. I looked up that word, devoted, and one commentator says it means addicted. They were addicted, not to drugs. I don't think, it doesn't say anything about drugs there, so I'm assuming they weren't addicted to drugs, but I know they were addicted, according to Paul, to what? Serving. The service of the saints. I urge you then to submit to such people and to everyone who works and labors with them. And he talks about some others, and then he said in the 18th verse, talking about some people that came and visited him, he says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. I got thinking about that. These people, as many problems as they had in the Corinthian church, were addicted to service. They were addicted to helping each person in that congregation to be better than they were, to be stronger, to be dedicated to Christ and to the gospel and to living a godly life. Let's see here. It goes to my second sermon here. I lost the second page, so you're in luck. Anybody that has studied anything about addiction, you know that one of the properties or one of the things about addiction is that it is a compulsive action or series of actions that you cannot control. It's something that you cannot control. It takes a hold of you and it drives you. And that's the kind of devotion, that's the kind of attitude Stephanas had and his family had in serving the congregation there. They were driven to it. And another thing about addiction is that the longer you're addicted to something, the more and more and more that you need to do in order to satisfy the addiction. Instead of these people jumping into this service and staying at the same level the whole way, more than likely they were having to do more and more and more and more and more and more. And they felt like they had to do more and more and more in order to make it work. And the third thing was on my other sheet, and I forgot what it is. But it had to do with one of the things about addiction, that it is something that can be good or it can be bad. In this case, we're talking about an addiction that was good. And I want to close the lesson today by just asking us some questions. And that's on my second sheet too, so I can't find it. No, I'm kidding. How do we compare to what Paul was talking about, the church? When people come here and we come here and we go away, we go out for a few days into the world, into our world, do we think about each other like Paul did? Do we have a remembrance of each other? Do we, in our daily or nightly or whenever we pray, do we pray for one another? I don't know. I used to think it was a bad thing for somebody to have a written out prayer. But I've done it myself, haven't you? You guys, especially guys that have to stand up in front of people, you write out your prayer. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe we need to do that, have a prayer list beside our bed or wherever it is we pray. And we need to name names. And maybe we need to put a little, I'm the world's worst at any kind of thing like this, but that's just a suggestion for you. And name names and say, hey, this person needs our special, your special help. And I tell you right now, Vinay Kumar in India loves this congregation. He's been to churches all over this area, and we are his. He loves us because you were so nice to him, and you were so supportive of him. We don't really give him any money. Our class tries to collect a little bit and send it along, but it's not because we send him a lot of money. It's because he found a fellowship here. He found a spirit here in this place. And he remembers us. And he sends messages to me, maybe to some of you. Ask him about how things are going here. And looking forward to a time when he can come back and hopefully bring his wife and be back with you. Because of our fellowship. I think we have a unique fellowship here. I think that other people can see and feel it when they come here. And I think that's something we need to strive to increase and make it better, make it even more strong. How do we feel we are doing as a congregation in fellowshipping with each other? You know, there's a great song by acapella. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. If you've ever heard acapella, you've probably heard it. Sweet Fellowship. Have you heard it? I started bringing it in and playing it for you, but I thought it might be illegal or something, so I didn't do it. Fellowshipping with one another as we're walking in the light. Fellowshipping with one another as we're walking in the light. For there's nothing as sweet as fellowship. As we share each other's lives. When we give our hearts to each other, you can feel His love inside. For there's nothing as sweet as fellowship. When we share each other's hearts, and that's about all the song is, a very simple song, but I think it's one of their top sellers of all time. Because the message is such a great message. And it's something that we need to think about. How can we make our fellowship here better? It's good. How can we make it better? What can we do? What can I do to be more a part of your life? What can you do to be more a part of my life? Just a question. I can't answer. But I hope that we can think about it. Is our worship time? We spend an hour together in worship. Once a week? Do we use that the best possible way? Do we use the times when we're together for the best possible fellowship time? I don't know. It's a question we need to ask. Can we do it better? Can we somehow increase the number of times we're together? Or what can we do? I hope you'll think about it. Because I don't have the answers. But I'd like for our fellowship to continue to grow stronger. I don't think it's just like that act. He says, you know, you get on a certain level, you don't have an addiction. If it's just the same all the way across, then you don't have the right attitude. You don't have the right spirit about it. You got to have this. I talked to a basketball coach one time, and I thought he was a pretty good basketball coach. He said, our team play about the same at the end of the year as they did first of the year. I said, well, you're not much of a coach. I didn't tell him that. He's about to miss time. So I didn't tell him that. But if our fellowship is just on a dead dial home, and we're waiting for somebody else to call us, or we're, you know, waiting for somebody else to do the fellowship part of it, then we are not addicted to it. It's got to grow. It's got to be more and more something that we miss from here on together. I don't know what any of you said this morning makes any sense or not, but at least I hope we can, it makes us think about what we are all about here as a fellowship at Echo Hill. I like for us to sing, Blessed Be the Tithe. I'm not, we are going to part here in a minute, but I want us to really think seriously about the concept, about the idea of binding ourselves together. Look at the words of this song as we sing. Did you get that? Yeah.
Blessed be the